Yo, welcome to the three of us hanging out. Parker, man, nice to see you. Your laptop works. I'm glad you got that Norton antivirus working overtime.
That Ed Norton virus.
For sure. So all those A plus memes coming in. Man, so you've been super busy, and I know that everyone wants to know what the famous rock drummer is up to these days. So I
Oh,
figured, like,
jeez.
I figure, now that you're the biggest celebrity out of the three of us, playing
Oh,
for
yeah.
you.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
I meant, like, in Nassau County.
There we go.
So the band and everything that's going on, just like fill us in, man. Because it so it, how have the wheels been turning with Sky Came Falling, and like I know the re-release 1020, like just fill us in on everything.
So the two Warsaw shows were like mind-blowing. It was the first time that I was handed like a schedule with everything from like load-in to just loading in was crazy, because like you pull up to the venue and there's actually like people there like that work there that help you like bring in equipment. I was like, oh my God, this is like amazing. Like we don't have to like kill ourselves or whatever. I was like, so then we load that in, and then we load the merch in, and of course me like being the drummer, I start flipping out, and I'm just like, I gotta get my stuff together. I gotta get my stuff together, even though doors aren't for like another like 6 hours or something.
They tell you to get there early, that's for sure. Because when we played Irving Plaza, it was the same thing. It was like, you get there at a certain time and it's like 10 hours before. And but like you said, they help you. Like everyone comes out and I'm like, oh, I felt guilty when people were moving my shit. I'm like, oh no, I could carry my own head and stuff. So
I mean, it was the first time that I've been to that venue, and like it's beautiful. Like it's completely
I
not what
love
I
it.
thought it was. It's not what I thought it was going to look like. And so then we get everything together, and then Dan Ter, shout out to Dan Ter, Inked Up Merchandise. He did all the merch for the shows, so he met us there. Helped us set up the table, and it was crazy, just because it was all new stuff, which was cool. So it was like new shirts, new sweatshirts, hoodie, it was like all this new stuff.
So who
And
came up, like, so all new stuff, like who came up with
yeah
those designs? He did, or did you guys have a say?
well it's funny because if you know the Heineken shirt joke, how we got like a cease and desist letter. This time we decided to borrow a logo from a famous Seattle band, not Nirvana. So if Soundgarden starts knocking at our door, we actually used one of their old
Okay.
logos,
Oh,
but
I
we put,
saw that. Okay, that was cool. I like
yeah.
that.
So, and we put Cameron on it rather than Kim Thai. So, so we got Cameron on there.
Okay.
So
Did
then,
you have Ecto Cooler on your rider?
And no, I should have. That's a good one. So then, the hoodie, since it's a hardcore band, you gotta, do the live shot. You need a live shot. So we actually wound up using a picture from the last reunion, at AMH. And, that picture was taken by this guy, Mark Valentino, who's from Long Island. So we used his and put that on the back of the sweatshirt. And then somehow we got in touch with this guy, John Cantino. I don't know if you know who that name is.
Love that guy.
Okay, beautiful. So you know who he is.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, all right. So he pretty much created like the incendiary like tombstone logo.
Oh, that's a
So
cool. Oh yeah, I love that.
yeah. But then if you look at the guy's backstory, he also does a lot of designs for major league sports teams,
Oh shit.
baseball, football, stuff like that. So he
Did
contact
he
I
do
think I
the
think
he did the Cleveland Indians?
I don't know if he yeah I don't know if he did. Yeah,
I'm
I get
just
what you're
kidding.
saying, but I don't know if he did that one.
I'm
So,
completely
yeah.
can get some Sky Came Falling basketball jerseys.
Yeah, that, I'm all
Like
for it. I'm
just,
all for it. I'm all for it.
man.
So he did the long sleeve, which is pretty cool. That almost looks like a lot of people like, oh, this looks like a Harley Davidson kind of like biker, you know, long sleeve. And then he's ultimately the guy that did the layout for the 1021 re-release. So he's been working closely with us. And so everything gets set up at the venue, and then we go, you know, I guess we go to what's known as the green room and go upstairs. And, you know, I see the guys, you know, from Poison the Well, who I haven't seen in, Jesus, probably close to like 20, 25 years.
Did they think that did they think that you were one of their cop friends?
I thought they were getting arrested right on site right there. And so that was cool just seeing them, you know, and just catching up with them. And the cool thing was...
What was the deal with them? So, like, because they're on a reunion run, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So they were doing the... it was the anniversary of You Become You. You Before... Yeah. Which is the major label one that they put out. You Come Before You. And... you know, so they were doing a run, not just kind of like an anniversary, and they reached out to us, and I was like, oh, yeah, you know, we sat down and we talked about it, and we were just like, this is going to be stupid if we don't take this opportunity, just because we used to play with them constantly together. I mean, everything from like Orlando Magic Fest back in like the late 90s to like an Audi's Basement, you know, we played together back in like 98 or 99 or something. And I mean, so it was great, you know, catching up with them. And then their guitarist, this guy Vadim, actually used to be in this band called This Day Forward that we used to tour with and play with a lot. So it was kind of like a double reunion. And then, you know, seeing the guys from Indecision was a blast because we used to play with them constantly. So it was just great, I guess, hanging out with everybody and then playing music was just a bonus.
Yeah.
And, so, I mean, it was great. I mean, just like we played the first show and it was cool. You know, obviously, you know, everybody was, you know, kind of making fun of me because they were like, why is this guy so nervous? Why is this guy so nervous? And
you're like, because if I stop playing, we're all fucked.
Well, yeah. Well, so there was that. There was that. And then that was actually the first show that I've played since I stopped drinking.
Okay.
Sobriety is a motherfucker. You know, so like, not that I would get like blitz drunk before shows, but I would have like
take the edge off.
Two or three to calm my nerves, and like I have two or three now. Like I'm going into the emergency room because I'm not going to stop. So I mean that was kind of just, you know, the first thing that I had to do is just get out of my mind, and so I mean, you know, it was awesome. Like we did, like we had an intro with like, you know, this whole, you know, there's a projection behind us, so we had this whole visual thing going.
But real quick, how do you pick the set list too? You know, like, so you guys, all right, so first of all, let's just rewind back a little bit. How'd you guys end up on these shows?
So Poison the Well actually reached out to us directly.
Okay.
And they were like, hey, like, you know, we're doing these shows. Well, at that point, it was just a show. We're doing this show. Would you guys want to come on it? And that was supposed to be the Saturday show. That show sold out, I think, in like 7 minutes. So then they add Friday's show,
which is what they do. I love when they do that.
Yeah. So they literally just and it just says Poison the Well on there plus guests. That show sells out again. I forget how fast it sold out, but without any openers. But then I went on to Poison the Well's social media, and a lot of people were saying, like, is Sky Came Falling also on this one? Because, like, you know, I really want to see them, too. And they were just kind of like, yeah, they were beating around the bush, like, yeah, we're not supposed to say anything, but, yeah, they're probably going to be on it, blah, blah, blah. So that's why they added that other show.
So when we played the three TBS shows, it was only supposed to be two. It was supposed to be one on Long Island and one in Jersey. But the Mulcahy show sold out so quick that their like manager was like, hey, that shit sold out really quick. They're like, if we add a Wednesday, is that cool? And we were like, are you out of your fuck? I'm like, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah. All right. Throw a Wednesday on. Throw a Tuesday on if you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's really cool. Like when that happens. But it's interesting, too, because like you guys haven't played or done anything. So it's they're like reaching out to you being like, hey, can you guys get the band back together? So,
yeah.
How'd that thread start?
I mean, like, everybody kind of is still active playing music, you know, with other bands right now. So, I mean, like, I guess getting us in the room wasn't that hard. It started out probably, I think, 2 months before the show, me, Andrew, and Chris, because Chris hadn't sang since the last show. So his voice had to build back up. So the three of us just wound up jamming in Andrew's basement, probably about an hour and a half, like, per week. And at first, Chris was only going to do, like, 2 to 3 songs. Like, once he was just like, enough's enough, like, that was it. He would just stop singing and just come back the following week. Andrew and I would just keep practicing and blah, blah, blah. So we only had 2 full band practices before these 2 shows, like, with all 5 members. And yeah, just because everybody's schedules and just jobs and families. I mean, Matt, you know, lives in North Carolina, so he didn't come in till Tuesday, and that first show was Friday. And we've always said, like, you know, like, I remember we practiced the day of a show once, and it was horrible. Like, that's the big, like, no-no in our book. Like, you never practice the day of the show. Oh. And then funny enough with these shows, we didn't practice the day before either. So the only 2 full band practices were Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, and then the first show was Friday.
You know, and that's what you got to do. Like, when you're given this opportunity, you make it work.
Yeah.
And that's basically it. You know, you're like, okay, you go back and, you know, so what was the, like, right before you guys play, like, what was the feeling like? Like, what were you feeling like? This is like a, I mean, you guys did the AMH show, right?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But, like, for the most part, like, you know, the band's been inactive, you know, for a while, but, like, it's wild to think, like, you know, you guys are, like, grown ass adults now, and you're about to play this, like, sold out place in Brooklyn. And so, like, what is old Parker think, you know, while you're sitting there?
I guess I just kind of have, like I said, like, once again, like, you know, the sobriety thing now, because, like, back in those days, like, I, you know, I'd be checking the set list. I'm like, 2 more songs and I can get drunk. 1 more song and I can get drunk. All right, we're done. Let's go get drunk. But now I'm just like, now I just kind of have, like, a fuck it attitude. Like, I'm here. I'm going to have fun. Like, and that's it. Like, I know that we're going to sound good, like, not to sound like an asshole or whatever, but, like, I know that we're all, like, good enough musicians that, like, 2 practices or we're good to go, you know? And then, like, between the reaction and, like, I mean, just, I couldn't believe, like, how well the pre-sale for 1021 did with these people not even hearing it. Like, and I would just keep going back to, like, the merch booth, and Andrew's just like, holy shit, like, another 5, another 10, another 15. Holy shit, this guy just bought one in every fucking color. Like, you know, this guy bought the bundle pack and blah, blah, blah. I was like,
I heard you bought a house in North Carolina. Is that true?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Massapequa Park. That's the best I could do.
There you go.
That's not bad.
How long was your guys' set? How much time do you have?
So it was a half an hour both days. And, you know, we kind of have, you know, not long songs, but I guess for, like, a hardcore band, like, longer songs. Right. And then, you know, you always have to, at least for, like, a drummer, you always have to put in, like, that oh shit factor. Like, what if my double bass pedal breaks? What if I break, you know, my snare head? So then you have to, you know, figure out how much time is going to be spent to fix that. Then you have to almost lose a song. So, like, which song then gets taken out? And then, you know, us, because, you know, we felt like being, you know, jokesters, we almost had 2 different set lists from Friday to Saturday. You know, there was a couple songs that we doubled, but, like, the main reason why we did that was a few people did buy for both nights. And we were just like, well, instead of you hearing the same 5-6 songs Friday into Saturday, like, let's play a couple different ones.
Yeah, I would do. Yeah, I agree. That would be,
you know,
that would make sense. You know.
Yeah.
So what was, like, you know, like, once you start playing, like, you know, you're like, what was the first song that you played? And just, like, did everything just kind of go away? I mean, like, you got to be in the moment, you know, like, you're out there, like, you probably just don't want it to end, right? After, like when you're playing the last song on the first night, you're probably like, can't wait to come back here.
I mean, like, we kind of going into these shows, I think we definitely put together like a good, I don't want to say like team of people because it sounds stupid, but like, you know, yes, I play drums. Yes, I've played drums since, you know, 1994, but I'm not, I guess, a smart drummer. And luckily enough, like, I'm friends with a lot of smart drummers. I'm in a chat room with smart drummers, you know, filled with people like Chris Nolte, Dan Lamelli, you know, Joe Ciotto, Vito, you know, and I actually had Vito do my drums for this show. You know, like, I don't know how to tune drums. I don't know how to read music. You know, I could play music, but that's pretty much as far as I go. So, you know, so I asked Vito, like, probably about a month before this show, I was just like, yo, like, my drums have been, like, locked away. They're probably filthy as shit. The heads are old. Like, can we get these things sounding and looking good? And he was like, hey, he's like, no problem, man. And, like, I cleaned these cymbals and they were fucking filthy. Like, these things hadn't been cleaned since the last reunion. The heads hadn't been changed since the last reunion. And, you know, by the time, you know, Vito worked his magic, they sounded and looked brand new. Amazing. So, like, so, like, going into that show, like, I knew that I didn't really have anything to worry about. Like, I knew that the drums were going to sound good because of what he did. I knew that they were going to look good because the fucking cymbals were sparkling. Like, I remember, like, setting them up and going to the floor and looking at them, and, you know, you could see them fucking sparkling.
You walked in there with the swag of a 1988 Lars Ulrich.
You know, and the cool thing was, like, I invited Vito to come there the first night. I was like, you know what? I'm like, it's the least that I could fucking do is have this guy here, like, in case the shit hits the fan. Like, he's side stage and he can fucking, you know, throw me an extra snare drum, bro. Or some shit like that, so, you know, but I mean,
yeah, it's when you say shit like that, it makes sense to me because, like, I don't know anything about guitars. Like, I don't know shit. I just know sound. And if I play something, I'm like, oh, this sounds cool. And whenever, like, I just recently, like, maybe like a few weeks ago, like, I went to a friend's house to go watch some UFC fights. And there was this one dude there that I've never met. And, like, he's like, oh, because I had my equipment with me. Maybe we played a show somewhere. And he's like, oh, man, this JCM 900. You know, he starts, like, gearing out to me. And I was like, bro, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know anything. I just know that I bought this. And if I plug this in, I could make noise. So, like, when I play, that's what it is. And so when it comes to, like, drums, I mean, I guess that's it. You just basically, like, you know, you write your shit by feeling, right?
Yeah. I mean, people always, like, ask me, they go, like, how do you know what to play? And I pretty much say, like, I play what I would like to hear.
Yeah.
Like, if you play me a song and I'm like, oh, cool, that's a good drum beat, like, that's probably something that I would play. Like, that's what I try to do. Like, I play what I want to hear.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. For sure. I know. Yeah, I know sounds, basically.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that was great. You know, Vito, you know, I mean, you know, the rest of the band, you know, luckily are all gearheads. So none of them really had much, I guess, to worry about. But I mean, the show, like, so the first show, you know, everybody kind of called it like a warm up. They were like, oh, yeah, that was cool, blah, blah, blah. So, like, we finished, and then, you know, the venue was nice enough to let us leave all of our stuff there.
Killer.
Which was great. So we played there the next night. Merch, everything. You know, obviously, we had to get some Brooklyn pizza because that was, you know, half the reason why Matt came in from North Carolina.
No pierogies over there?
I did get some the next night.
Yeah.
But, like, come on. Like, it's pizza or nothing, like, when you're going in there.
I don't like pierogies, but, like, Warsaw is famous for their pierogies.
Yes. Yeah. So we left the first night. And, you know, obviously, you know, me, I'm just like, holy shit, like, I have to get sleep. But then, like, I'm thinking about my 4-year-old son who's going to wake me up at 6:30 the next day and blah, blah, blah. So luckily I slept in a little bit. And, you know, we go into the second show And I think we left like 3 hours later than we did the first day. And I'm like, holy shit, now I'm starting to freak out. Holy shit, we got to get there. And everyone's just like, relax, relax. Like, everything's set up. The merch is still set up. There's nothing to freak out about. So I think that show, we got there either like an hour or an hour and a half before doors. And it was fine. Still plenty of time. And, you know, and then kind of like, then the talk kind of started like right before that show started. They were like, tonight's going to be the good one. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, last night was the good one. They said, no, no. Tonight was the original show that got announced that sold out. Tonight is going to be something special. You watch. And I'm like, okay. And the lights went out right before we started playing. And there was a fucking vibe in that air. And I felt it. I've never felt something like that before. And I was like, holy shit, they're fucking right. And here we go.
Awesome. Nice. And, yeah. Man, Indecision too, man. Anytime I've seen them play, like, especially in Brooklyn, like, I just,
oh yeah,
you know, you saw them at the Monarch, right?
When, yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Like every time I see that band play, like their fucking crowd, just like,
oh yeah. I mean, you know, you talk about like old, like hardcore drummers, like Pat is like, I call him almost like, he's almost like the scientist. This guy, Pat, who plays drums for Indecision, one of my favorite, you know, I don't even want to call him a hardcore drummer because that's almost like downgrading him. He's a great drummer, this guy. And it's so we finish and he brought his son to the show and he starts bringing a rug out. And I'm like, what's this guy doing? Like, there's a rug here. So I'm like, what are you doing, man? I'm like, there's a rug right there. He goes, that's not a rug. This is a rug. And
yes.
And he unravels it. And he's got tape marking where all of his fucking cymbal stands and tom legs. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, this guy is like a fucking, like, something else. I'm like, this guy's like a scientist. Like, how he sets his shit up, like, the correct height. Like, there's no struggling. There's no questions. Like, yeah. You know?
So you guys play and, man, so what was the vibe like, you know, at the end of the show, you know, like Poison the Well does their last show, that does their last thing there. And like, at that point you have to assume you guys are going to do something more, right? That it, you guys automatically felt that way. Like, okay, Sky Came Falling. Maybe we should play one more show. Maybe we should.
Yeah. So, well, so I did forget. So the morning of the second show, that's when Furnace Fest actually went through. So now people that know or don't know about Furnace Fest, Sky Came Falling actually did play Furnace Fest back in 2002. I was already out of the band at that point. It went away for a lot of years. You know, it's this fest in Alabama, and it came back. This is going to be the fifth year, and it's the fifth and final year, because the lease runs out of where they're doing it. So it is going to be the biggest one. That's what I've been told.
And shout out to Adam Harris, who's part of the team over there.
Yes. Who was at, I think, both of our shows, which was great to see him. And so they had asked us actually for 4 years in a row. And unfortunately, just we couldn't do it. Just the stars didn't align, blah, blah, blah. So this year, you know, we kind of had one of our friends who's, you know, in the biz reach out to them. You know, Sky Came Falling is available, like they would love to do it, blah, blah, blah. And they said, yeah, so that absolutely, we would love to have them.
And so then most importantly, you'll get to have some of that Alabama pizza after the show.
Yeah, some of that Alabama Black Snake, maybe, you know. So then the second show, I'm backstage packing my drums up, and I forget who, somebody grabs me from the band and they're like, yo, there's this guy over here and he wants to talk to you. And I'm like, all right, like, whatever. So I go over there and there's just this guy standing there, didn't know who he was, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, hey man, I'm like, what's going on? And he you know, points to the table and he goes, you know, you're the drummer of this band. I'm not even going to try and do the accent because it'll just sound Russian, and I'll explain later. And I said, yeah. And I go, yeah. And he goes, what kind of click track do you play to? And I say, I don't. And he goes, you're a fucking machine, man.
I already know who it is.
No. So this guy, I mean, I hope for this guy's sake, he didn't just come in for us. He had plans to see like New York or something. But this guy came in from Australia.
Oh, I thought he had one arm. I thought that's what you're going to say.
No.
It was Yahoo Serious.
Yeah. So, I mean, just shit like that. I'm like, wow. I'm like, people still fucking care. Like, I met a couple that drove from Canada that literally told me they're sleeping in their car that night. Like, we have no money for a hotel. We spent all of our money, like, on gas tolls and buying Sky Came Falling tickets.
That was,
and we're going to be...
That was low-key their way of saying, could we sleep over?
Yeah. So the best and the nicest that we could do was we gave them two free hoodies. You know, so we said, you know what? This is the least that we can do. If we had Sky Came Falling comforters, maybe we could have did that.
Yeah.
You know, feety pajamas, maybe.
Let me tell you this, you know, to interject real quick, speaking of places, people coming to places, we played a show at the Kingsland, and we see these two hippies roll up on bikes, and they were looking for the band Playing Dead. And we're like, oh, yeah, we're playing tonight. And then we're like, oh, who else is playing? They're like a Grateful Dead tribute band. And we were like, no, definitely not a Grateful Dead tribute band. And they're like, are you kidding me? They're like, we just came from Jersey. We parked at the bridge and we rode our bikes here. And
I'm thinking, like, shit.
I'm thinking, like, wait, like, how, like, you don't check anything? So those two people came to see us, but not really.
Yeah.
It's very relatable.
Yeah. Not to change the subject real quick, but is that a Teddy Ruxpin over your shoulder?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
That's an OG right there. Yeah. That's an OG right there.
Holy shit.
Yes.
So.
And the cool thing was, so the second night, I mean, I guess I'll just kind of jump into 1021, like, real quick. So, so Will Putney was involved with 1021. So he's who did the remaster. And we're sitting at one of the tables, and Matt, my bass player, spots him. He goes, holy shit. He goes, I think that Will Putney's here. And I'm like, really? And I look over and I know what he looks like. I've never met the man, but I'm like, holy shit, that is him. So we go over and introduce ourselves, and really cool guy. And it turned out that, you know, so he's in that band Better Lovers, and Lovers came to the show actually to watch Poison the Well. So it was cool that we actually got to meet the guy that worked on a record, like, accident, I guess.
So Better Lovers, that's basically Every Time I Die plus the singer of Dillinger. Is that the band?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
So I mean, that was cool. Like I said, we met him by accident, and you know, Matt Beal did some pictures for us, which was awesome. And then this guy Brandon Gomez, who actually he mainly does pictures for The Sleeping. I had never met him. Cool guy, did some great work for us. So, you know, leaving the second show, I definitely left in, like, on cloud nine, just between, like, the amount of people that still cared and, like, just people saying, like, you know, what's next? What's next? What's next? And I'm like, whoa. I'm like, slow down. I'm like,
yeah, like, I got to go to work Monday.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, let's take it easy there. I got a 4-year-old at home, you know?
did Sarah look at you like a hot 22-year-old after you were done playing?
No, I mean, she was there for both shows, but I think she was more excited that they were playing freestyle in between all the bands.
Oh.
Nice. She was more excited to hear, like, a little Sweet Sensation and Stevie B.
Hey, yeah. Okay. I get it.
Or TK action, you know.
I was just going to say TK.
Yeah, TK rules. A little Cover Girls, you know.
And then don't you have another show, right? Like, you have, aside from Furnace Fest?
Yeah, so... So, I mean, so getting into the vinyl real quick. So we're going to have this. So this is actually the test press right here, which is pretty cool. And we should have them in our hands by April. So for everybody that, you know, did the pre-order, hopefully will ship, you know, soon after that, because I mean, that's the beauty of it now. Like pretty much now, like it's in our hands. Like, you know, we kind of, you know, we can do whatever we want now with this record. And I mean, the first pressing sold out, which was crazy. And, you know, so hopefully by May we'll be shipping those. And, yeah, so we're planning on playing Long Island come June. And
you were showing us your after the shows, right? Your Spotify numbers were like,
yeah, I mean, leading up to the show, they started going up. After the show, they went through the roof. And then, like, pretty much once Furnace Fest was announced, like, I couldn't even keep up. You know, it just kept on climbing. And then, like, all the socials started going up. And, like, you know, even after the show, just shirts selling, you know, hoodies selling, just, you know, it was wild. It was wild.
What are you going to do with your first $1 million check?
I don't know. Fuck, I don't know, man. That's a great fucking question.
A new fence?
He's going to be on eBay.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy shit.
Yeah, totally.
I actually removed the eBay app like years ago because it got so bad. I'm like, I just can't do this anymore. I just can't do this anymore.
What is one thing that you've been looking for that you've never pulled the trigger on or never found on eBay? Like, you know, like Frankenberry or like just some like random ass shit. What's like a wish list for you?
Oh man. You know, it's one thing
it's
that
great white whale.
One thing that I always wanted that I never pulled the trigger on, that not that even that it was a crazy money. So they had like the Phantasm Spear.
Oh,
and it was like, but it was all the movies like inside.
Yeah.
I always thought that was cool. I never got that.
Wow.
It wasn't crazy money. I think it was like $500, but you know, pulled the trigger on that.
Did you watch The Last Phantasm?
No, I don't think I've gone past part two, honestly.
Oh, you know, it's funny. So I'll tell you this.
Part two's the best.
Part two's amazing.
You know what though? I'm new, or in the last like 5 years, I watched those movies. I stopped at three, and I think three is my favorite.
That's like Lord of Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never saw that one.
Three's pretty good. Like,
yeah, I think Joe Bob did them all except for two.
Oh, maybe
in the last few years he didn't have two for some reason, but he did 1, 3, 4.
I think it's like whatever licensing Shudder has.
Stuff goes in and out of there.
Like whenever, like when AMC would always show Halloween 1, 4, and 5 for like years. It's like, what the fuck? So,
are you still buying a lot of physical media? Are you still collecting?
It's funny. Like I thought about it today. So the last, I guess, big purchase that I bought was they did like a Night of the Creeps release, and it was like the Blu-ray, a poster, and a Tom Atkins figure, which is where the fuck he's over here somewhere, the figure. But I think that was the last, and I don't know if that was Scream Factory or somebody put that out. And I remember I bought that before Grant was even here, so that was probably the last big thing that I bought.
Does your son ask you, Dad, why do you keep the figures in the box? You can't play with them. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because, like, not that he's getting into horror, but, like, you know, we do this thing when it's, like, bath time called, like, the monster run where I, like, I chase him up the stairs and do, like, this, like, it's like scary noise or whatever. And then like, we read like the book, like, Are You My Monster? You know, so it is starting. It's not there yet, but it's slowly starting, I think.
Yeah. Cause I mean, like you go down there, like, you know, I mean,
he loves the fucking Pet Monster. He loves it. He's always like looking at it and smiling, you know.
In the first episode of this show, you know, this is 179 and we did so many like random ones. I think we've done like over 200 episodes by now. I remember we talked about the Saw dental floss, Saw 3.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You know,
bringing it back around today. Yeah. We thought it would be fun to, you know, so to give a little backstory, anytime we would post something on Facebook, a movie, like let's say we would say Maniac Cop, Parker would always say the M section because he takes pride.
I do.
He takes complete fucking pride in his DVD and movie collection. So I thought it'd be fun for like me and Langan to like pick a couple of random letters and then for you to go to your wall.
Yeah.
And pick what you feel is a good underrated or representation of that letter. So,
okay,
you know, let's do that for you know, the tail end of this episode. So Langan, you want to give him a letter?
B, baby.
Yeah. B
for the Bryans.
Go pick something for us.
So, you know that I had to be prepared for this, right?
Yeah.
So I legit wrote down every letter in the alphabet and went over to the rocket. So this is already, so I'm ready to go. So now, B, so the letter B is actually a four-way tie.
Okay.
Okay.
So we got actually a movie that we were speaking about, you know, recently, because you posted a picture of Duff from MTV. So Blank Check is automatically like the kickoff.
Shout out to Brian Bonsall.
Dude. So I got to go Blank Check, Band of the Hand, which is an amazing movie.
Say that again.
Band of the Hand.
You know what I didn't notice about Band of the Hand, which I wouldn't have because they weren't in these movies, but like it's the dude from fucking Don't Breathe. He's in that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's who's in it.
And also Hedwig from Hedwig and the Angry Inch is in that movie. And like rewatching it because it's on Tubi, that movie I fucking loved. That was one of those movies that I would rent all the time.
Yeah,
it was like just like weird, like wannabe, like maybe visually. I don't know who directed it. Was it Michael Mann? Because that felt like very Miami Vice. But Band of the Hand is very, very slept on, very underrated.
Yeah. And then the last two, I got to go, you know, kind of childhood Boy Who Could Fly, which is a great movie. And then I got to give it to my boy Mickey Rourke, man, fucking with Tupac, Bullet.
Wow. Oh, that's it.
Wow. I bought that shit for 99 cents at the fucking Salvation Army.
No
wonder. Worth every penny.
No wonder he's poor.
Yeah, worth every penny.
Didn't get that money back. So Bullet was fucking great. Great cast.
Really was a great cast. Yeah.
Adrian Brody, Tupac, and then Buffalo Bill. Fucking Ted Levine.
Right.
Just tell everybody that he almost played us. You know, he's like a Vietnam vet in Bullet. And like, that's right up there with that Buffalo Bill character. Like, he's fucking crazy in Bullet, man. Like, walking around in his underwear, like, with no teeth and like, fucking great actor, that guy. Yeah,
guy's always good.
He's the badass version of the uncle that lived in the attic of One Crazy Summer, basically.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, Uncle Frank.
Yeah,
Uncle Frank.
He was the flip side to that. So all right, so now I'm gonna pick a letter. There's a lot of great stuff with S. So
let me look at my sheet here.
This guy really.
All right, so this one took me, this is kind of a gem. This one took me a while to find, and I bought some kind of like Japanese bootleg version of it. So this thing was on HBO, like this was like another one, like that one summer was on every fucking day with my boy Dabney Coleman called Short Time. So this was like the 80s, like, mix up, he goes to the doctor and they screw up his medical records where, like, instead of the guy completely fine, you know, the medical records get screwed up and now he's dying of, like, cancer or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I think he was a cop in the movie, and he checks out his life insurance policy, and if he dies on the job, his son gets, like, a $10 million life insurance policy. So the entire movie is Dabney Coleman just trying to die. And like he's like running into traffic, nobody can kill him. Like he's running at a guy with a loaded gun, he runs out of bullets, you know, shit like that.
Yo,
wow. I never heard of that one.
I did.
But I love Dabney Coleman.
I remember I remember the cover. It's like him with like a clock or something. Yeah. Or like that. I haven't thought of that movie in a while. Like, I'm genuinely going to look, like, I'm going to look it up right now. Cause I want
to
watch it.
I just watched 9 to 5 actually. A couple years ago.
Oh yeah.
He was like the go-to 80s Brit. Yeah. Man. Like, he was so good at that. Yeah. He's a killer, I think, next.
Yes. Yes. And then the other S tied is actually a documentary called Slasher. You guys know that? John Landis did it. And it's actually about a car salesman. And he, you know, he slashes prices. That's why they call it Slasher. But it's this car salesman that just supposedly he's so good that it's a documentary about this guy, like, going around the country, like, doing sales of cars, like staying in hotel rooms and getting like drunk and calling his wife, and you know, then like he goes to like a grand opening of like a new car dealership and I'm gonna knock this price down to blah blah blah. But John Landis did it, I think, like right after American Werewolf in London.
Where the fuck did you find that?
Never heard of that. That's awesome.
Slasher.
Sounds cool.
Slasher.
Where do you even come across that? Like, where did you find that?
9 out of 10 are all eBay. 9 out of 10, I bought shit off of eBay. And that, it had to be. I had to see it on HBO when I was a kid. Had to be.
Yo, HBO, you saw that post that I put up with all those movies? Like,
yeah, I love that.
I think I owned like 8 of them.
Yeah, like fucking everything from like Ice Pirates to fucking Moving Violations. So like all these fucking like movies that like you forget. But like when they that video compiled everything, and it really was HBO just had these, like, even right now, like HBO has like Odd Jobs. Like, I was trying to.
Nice.
Shout out to Lyle Alzado.
Yeah.
I was trying to. I always want to watch these movies, and I don't know how like Sarah or your wife is, Jen Langan, but like Karen.
You don't know how they're going to hold up.
But I'm saying,
especially comedies age the worst, and I think there was that HBO factor when you were young, and you got in. You were, some of these movies are so endearing to you.
Yeah. Oh, so endearing.
You would watch them like 20 times a month because they were repeating them. So like you almost like, this movie was really good, and later on you're like, or like one of those. There's nothing worse than when you put the movie on and like, you can tell like 15 minutes in, like, yeah, this other person is really not, I'm not even enjoying this.
I'm saying, like, Karen won't even entertain my selection. If she sees if she sees 1980 something, like, I'm lucky to get 1990 something where she feels a little bit more attached to it. But she was like born in like 86, so she's, or 85. And so like anytime I try to watch something that has an 8 in it, she's just like, I'm not watching this. And just recently, so like the two things that I got in were Quick Change, which she
liked. Amazing.
And I'm like, okay, she likes that. And you know, obviously, finally, I started to do a rewatch of Eastbound and Down.
Yeah.
And like, I started watching it without her. She just was happy, you know, she was maybe in the kitchen or like maybe she was listening. And like 2 or 3 episodes in, she was just like, okay, she's like, I like this. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, Kenny Powers is the best character ever, so
yeah.
But all right, let's do 2 more letters. So Langan, you pick one, I pick another one.
All right, I'm gonna go with M for Metallica. have you seen him live yet? Since
he did, right?
Oh yeah, I did.
You did go. Wait, you went to the last one.
Let's sidebar. Yeah, it's about Metallica because one of our favorite bands, and we all went to one of those. So it was your first time seeing them.
So I went with Joey, who plays bass in my new band.
Yeah.
And so Sarah got me tickets for Father's Day, actually. And, you know, we actually took an Uber in. And
I remember because you told me.
Yes,
and I was
like,
bro.
Yeah. So we take it. Yeah. So we take an Uber in, got there like super fast. And like, so the guy's like, you know, driving, and he's, you know, and then all of a sudden the guy gets a knock at the window, and the guy's just like, you can't fucking park here. Like, what the fuck are you doing? You got to move, blah, blah, blah. So we get out there and we're just kind of walking, blah, 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 blah. And then like, I look over and I point to Joey and I'm like, I don't think we're supposed to be back here. And you literally just saw this row of road cases that said Metallica with all the fucking tour buses. And I'm like, I think we're backstage somehow. Like, I don't know how this happened. Then we watched Overkill in the parking lot, which was cool.
Overkill in the parking lot, yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, I forget who opened. I didn't give a shit about them. Five Finger Death Punch, I just, like, left because I'm like, this is horrific.
So we went to the same night then. So we went
yes,
to...
Yes, that's right, that's right.
Because the first night had, like, Pantera and...
Yeah.
I don't remember who else, but, like...
Mammoth.
Okay, and then
second
and night
Prong was in the parking lot.
Yeah, I would have liked to see Prong. I like Prong.
And then the second night was like Five Finger and like just I mean two bands that we were like okay
I think they were great. Honestly, I thought that they were great. Like I never saw them. I mean, I thought it was amazing that Lovers, you know, had five different drum sets. They just kept on moving.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that was cool.
You know, I mean. Yeah, it was cool. No complaints.
All right. So back to M. Give us some M.
Yes.
Right, so M. That man. Oh, that's a good one too. All right. Well, so did you say moving violations already?
Did
you bring that up? Okay. So we're gonna scrap that one. But we still got a tie. We still got a tie for two movies here. So okay. I fucking love this movie, man. This is a good one right here. So the first one is Miami Blues.
Good one.
Great fucking movie. Great fucking movie.
I don't know
movie.
That one.
Oh, really?
Who's in that?
What Alec is, yeah, Baldwin.
Yeah. So Alec Baldwin, I don't even know what you would call him. Like a fucking...
He's a crook.
Swindler, like whatever. So, you know, so like he, you know, pretends that he's like a cop and like steals like a friend. What was it? What was the guy's name that he steals the badge? Fred, he had the fake teeth in the movie and he knocks him out. Fred Ward? Was it Fred Ward?
Maybe that sounds right.
Yeah. So he steals his badge and it's Miami Blues. You know, he steals drugs and sells drugs and blah, blah, blah. But it's like typical scumbag Alec Baldwin, like 80s scumbag Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. He steals it from Remo Williams.
Yeah. There you go. And then the tie, I actually remember seeing this movie in the movie theater. And probably when she was in her prime, Pierce the Alley with John Larroquette, it's called Madhouse.
Madhouse.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that is prime. That is prime Kirstie Alley. R.I.P.
Yeah. What a great movie. So it's just, you know, it's the typical 80s, you know, he's got a good job, she's got a good job. And then out of nowhere, you know, this guy's brother just decides to come visit and just doesn't want to leave. This guy just doesn't want to move out. And then his wife fakes a pregnancy. You know, she falls and says that, you know, the baby's injured. So, like, they move into their bedroom. And then, like, the kids take over the living room. And then, like, there's a drug bust involved. And the fucking 80s, man. Best movies.
You know what? You've never seen that, Langan?
No, I've seen that one. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no. Kirstie Alley, I mean, that was, like, peak. Like, she was... She is a big Cheers fan.
Yeah.
You know, Shelley, you know, Long was okay. Like, she just wasn't really attractive to me. But, like, when Rebecca, a.k.a. Kirstie Alley, moved in, it was just like, wow. Like, she is fucking smoking hot.
I thought she was hot in Runaway, too, because I had to get a Gene Simmons plug in there.
Hot.
So.
Hot.
Yeah,
that's right.
So yeah. If Sky Came Falling made basketball jerseys, what number would
you?
What number would be Parker's number?
32.
32,
because that was the number on our first bus, actually, was 32. So the original Sky Came Falling shirt was a Sky Came Falling PAL shirt. And then on the back, it had the number 32.
There you go. Parker, 32. Yeah. All right. There I'm going to pick last letter. I'm going to go with C.
All right. I mean... She was one of my OG crushes, my third OG crush,
Estelle Getty,
Miss Jennifer Connelly.
Oh yeah,
career opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So you know Frank Whaley, you know, shout out Frank Whaley. So I mean, when I remember seeing that in the movie theater, and I was like, what the fuck is a Target? You know, because Target wasn't here. Wasn't here. Yet. you know, and then you got
little did you know that that would have been half of your future, you know.
I'm telling you I've
spent many Friday nights walking through Target completely unhappy, but sometimes I end up there.
You know, and then you had John Candy for a quick cameo because John Hughes did the movie, but I could still watch that fucking movie. I love that movie.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, this has been, fun picking stuff from Parker's wall. So, all right.
Yeah.
So the future of Sky Came Falling is there. You're also playing in another band with a whole bunch of people that we know, Derek Sessions, Joe Hess.
Yep.
Mike
Milano.
Yep. And Joey from your old, I mean, I guess it was, right? He was in the band that
he was in Anoint the Sick with me. Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to that. But I know. Well, so basically, now that the Sky Came Falling thing, I mean, you guys aren't practicing. So I guess you.
No, I mean, all that we're just kind of doing now is like waiting to like announce, you know, like I said, the June show with the lineup, you know, the venue, so and so. And then we're just going to do Furnace Fest. And just, I think we're kind of like at the age now where it's like, if we get offered something and we can do it, we'll do it. You know, as far as like.
No reason not to.
I mean, as far as like, you know, because a lot of people have asked like, well, are you going to record like a new album now? And like, that, I mean, I guess never say never. That's not in the cards. But I mean, we have been talking about if we did go back to the studio, there are a couple songs from 1021 that didn't get released that still kind of hold up, that still kind of, you know, sound like something that would come out today. So, like, if we did decide to put something out in the future, those would probably be the couple songs that we would pick from first.
That's cool. That would be great.
Yeah.
Those are things. And how do you store that? Like, someone just had it in like a hard drive or like
So when we originally started talking about this, like we had to dig up the original tapes from like the original recording, and somebody still had them, and so those other songs are still on there as well.
Very cool.
Yeah,
man, it was great catching up with you.
Yeah,
and super all that
happy,
man.
Man.
Other shit.
Yeah,
so
thank you.
Don't forget us little people, you know, when you start doing a bunch of cool stuff this year. And I don't know, man, that's it, man. I'll see you.
Yeah.
I'll see you in the real world soon, I guess. Right.
That's it, man. I'll be I think my next venture out. I mean, I think I got to go see Broadcaster. You know, my buddy Vito's band is back together in Broadcaster. So I think end of March, they're playing at that Nostalgia Bar in Bethpage. So,
yeah, cool.
They'll be going.
I'll probably be there. Well, I'm actually putting out. So we did the podcast with them.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yes. Yes.
So I'm gonna put that out tomorrow because they're putting
awesome.
It out tomorrow too. So we talked about our favorite guilty pleasure songs. And,
nice.
You know, I should have thrown in some fucking freestyle. Oh, maybe I did. John Cicada. Like that song's pretty close to freestyle.
Yeah.
That's close enough.
So
yeah.
Cool, man. Hopefully you enjoyed that. Faces of Death shirt that I finally got.
I did. You. Thank you. Yes.
So, guys, I will see you guys soon.
Later, guys. Bye. Bye-bye.